Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay. Canto 2, Chapter 5, Verse 24. Soham kareti proto.
Soham kareti proto.
Dikurvan samabhutrida.
Vaikarikas
tejasascha tamasascheti admida dravyashakti kriyashakti jnanashaktiriti prabho sohankareti prokto vikurvam samabhuktida vaikarikas tejasascha tamasacheti advida dravyashakti kriyashakti jnanashaktiriti prabho sohankareti prokto vikurvan samabhutridha vikarikas tejasascha tamasascheti yadvida yadvyashakti kriyashakti jnanashaktiriti prabho
The very same thing, ahankara, ego, iti, thus, prokta,
shed,
the
korban,
being transformed,
some of who
became manifested,
vidha,
in three features,
ekarika,
in the mode of goodness,
tajasa,
in the mode of passion,
cha,
and
tamasa,
in the mode of ignorance,
cha,
also,
iti,
thus,
ya,
what is,
bida,
divided,
dravya shakti,
powers that evolve matter,
kriya shakti,
initiation that creates,
jnana shakti,
intelligence that guides,
iti,
thus,
Prabhu,
all master.
The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions, namely the powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you are quite competent to understand this. Purport. Materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered, devoid of clear knowledge of the existence of God. And this self-centered egoism of the materialistic living entities is the cause of their being conditioned by the other paraphernalia and continuing their bondage of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, this self-centered egoism is very nicely explained in the 7th chapter, verse 24 through 27. The self-centered impersonalist, without a clear conception of the personality of Godhead, concludes in his own way that the personality of Godhead takes a material shape from his original and personal spiritual existence for a particular mission. And this misleading conception of the Supreme Lord by the self-centered impersonalist continues, even though he is seen to be very interested in Vedic literature, such as Brahma Sutras and other highly intellectual sources of knowledge. The ignorance of the personal feature of the Lord is due simply to ignorance of the mixture of different modes. The impersonalist thus cannot conceive of the Lord's eternal spiritual form of eternal knowledge, bliss, and existence. The reason is that the Lord reserves the right of not exposing himself to the non-devotee who, even after a thorough study of literature like Bhagavad Gita, remains an impersonalist simply by obstinacy. This obstinacy is due to the action of Yogamaya, a personal energy of the Lord that acts like an aide-de-camp by covering the vision of the obstinate impersonalist. Such a bewildered human being is described as mudha, or grossly ignorant, because he is unable to understand the transcendental form of the Lord as being unborn and unchangeable. If the Lord takes the form of material shape from his original impersonal feature, then it means he is born and changeable from impersonal to personal. But he's not changeable, nor does he ever take a new birth like a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul may take a form birth after birth due to his conditional existence in matter, but the self-centered impersonalists, by their gross ignorance, accept the Lord as one of them because of self-centered egoism. Even after so-called advancement of knowledge in the Vedanta, the Lord, being situated in the heart of every individual living entity, knows very well the tendency of such conditioned souls in terms of past, present, and future. But the bewildered conditioned soul hardly can know him in his eternal form. By the will of the Lord, therefore, the impersonalist, even after knowing the Brahman and Paramatma features of the Lord, remains ignorant of his eternal personal feature as ever-existent Narayan, transcendental to all material creation. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement by the materialistic man in the matter of artificially increasing material demands. To realize the Supreme Personality of God, one has to purify the materialistic senses of devotional service by devotional service. The mode of goodness, or the Brahminical culture recommended in the Vedic literature, is helpful to such spiritual realization. And thus, the Jnana Shakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the other two stages, namely Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The whole material civilization is manifested by a huge accumulation of materials. In other words, raw materials for industrial purpose and the industrial enterprises, Kriya Shakti, are all due to gross ignorance of spiritual life. In order to rectify this great anomaly of materialistic civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, one has to adopt the process of devotional service of the Lord by adoption of the principles of Karma Yoga mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yat Karoshi 9:27. Yat Karoshi Rasnasi. Yat Jahosi Dadasi Jat. Yat Tapasasi Kamkriya Tat Karoshi Madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimataya Bhaktivedanta Swami Kiram Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Namaste Srinivadi Pashtasya Devi Satarini Sohankarati Prokto Vikurvan Samabhuktida Mekarikas Tayajasascha Tamasascha Iti Advida Javya Shakti Kriya Shakti Jnana Shakti Riti Prabho. The self-centered materialistic ego, thus being transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance in three divisions, namely powers that evolve matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Narada, you're quite competent to understand this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So there's a set of verses Prabhupada's referring to here, 24 through 27. 7:24 through 27. And let's just see what they are. They are... Starts with avyaktam apanam, avyaktam vyaktam apanam, manyate mam abhudaya, param bhavam ajamam tu mamavyam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So then, 25, probably referred to here as well. Naham prakasha sarvasya, yogamaya samantata, mudoyam nabhajana, lokamama jamabhyayam. And vedaham samatitani, vartamanani charjana, bhavishyani chabhutani mamtu vedika, kashna kashna. Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all happening in the present, all things that are yet to come. I also know all of the entities, but me, no one knows. And then, all of the entities are born into delusion. So I think that's what he was referring to. Right? 24, 5, 6, and 7. So chapter 7. Good chapter. No matter how many times you read it, you'll find that there's more and more in that Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks any verse, then there'll be unlimited avyayam. It says here, it is avyayam, inexhaustible. So the knowledge of speaking is inexhaustible. So therefore, we can understand also that when Krishna says mudho, then, and Prabhupada is quoting Krishna, and Prabhupada being a very perfect representative, speaking about, you know, sometimes people would get irked, they would get a little bit Well, Swamiji, you are speaking so, so much heavy, you know, like calling everyone rascal. So Prabhupada said, no, no, this is Krishna speaking. I'm simply quoting Bhagavad Gita. So sometimes we're speaking, but doesn't have the same exact potency. Like if you shoot a toy gun and something comes out, a little thing, it says bang, you know, it's like a joke. Bang. So that means there's no real bullet, there's no, not that we want a real bullet, but there's no potency to it. Just doesn't have the potency. It's like Vishwanath Chakravarti says, speaking with a small mouth, speaking very big words with a small mouth. But when Prabhupada would speak, he had full realization of mudho yam nabhajanati, or vimudha. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, vimudha nana pashyante, pashyante. There's mudha, he's a rascal, but there's vimudha, which is a special rascal. Or sometimes he would say, thousand time rascal, because if you say an ass, sometimes poor ass gets picked on. I mean, Hare Krishnas are not equi. You know, we're supposed to be equi, seeing everything equally, but we pick on asses and mudhas. But the poor ass, he's working very hard. Svabid varahoshta karai. He's chasing some kind of a carrot or something on a stick, and he's carrying very heavy loads, and there's nothing there at the end. He's just being, or he could just go eat some grass, but he doesn't do that. He's turning. So the master, he's got a master, and he's forcing him. So the ass is like this poor guy. He's an emblem, representative of being a fool. But if you're a human being, then you're meant atato brijigyasa. Prabhupada even refers here to Brahma Sutra, and he picks here on the Mayavadis, impersonalists. He sometimes lumps them in with the ordinary mudhas, but there's also, he said there's special mudha. Especially, he said the scientists are special mudha, because they're trying for such a big thing and misleading the whole material world, human civilization, that yes, you get this, you get this, you get this, you get this. There's nothing there to get. But they're still pushing it that you know, next year everything was going to be fine. If you would have drugs now, people will actually say, they still say that. There's research that how we'll perpetuate life forever or something. Although it's not going on, obviously everyone is dying. So this ahankara, iti ame, one of the elements in the material world, is being broken down here in detail in this verse. And then it gets more detailed when you read Kapiladeva in the third canto, chapter 26, and other places. In the 11th canto also, several places, that this idea is there broken down, Vaikarika, and the Tejasa, Taijasa, and the Tamasa. They each have Murtis, and each refer to, here it's like the passion, Vaikarika's goodness. And the Murti there is the Aniruddha. So Prabhupada is telling us there in the third canto, Kapiladeva is telling that the Aniruddha Murti, Vishnu Murti, is meant to be meditated on by the impersonalists. Not that they just, rather the yogis. Although most impersonalists, they don't worship Aniruddha. Or they have a philosophized version of this. So sometimes Prabhupada would also put them in the category of mudha, the yogis. Sometimes they're given credit, sometimes they're not given. They study the Brahma Sutra. And it's highly intellectual. Prabhupada refers to it as highly intellectual. And in early lectures, especially, Prabhupada used to say that to become impersonalist, actual impersonalist, means you have to be actually a big scholar. Otherwise, they have very sharp delineation. To be bona fide Shankara, follower of Shankara, one should, has to study Sanskrit and just spend his time. Although, and become a sannyasi. So, dandagrahena matrena, namo narayana bhavet. As soon as you accept the danda, dandagrahena, then you become Narayan. So this is their illusion, that they have become Narayan. This is strict impersonalism. So Mahaprabhu, in a very humble way, he defeated the impersonalists. And he showed us the path for, how to defeat. So we're coming in that line. And before even Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu accepted this Madhva line because he was very big on defeating the impersonalists. Dvaita, there's two. So there's the living entity, Jiva, and he's different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No matter how you look at it, Prabhupada said, the ABC of Krishna consciousness, that I am very insignificant, God is very great. If one can accept that, then he's not an impersonalist. I am very tiny, so we're trying to get beyond that and learn a little more over one lifetime. But basically, one has to remember to be very amanina manadena kirtani asada. So Mahaprabhu has to come because everyone is enwrapped in this hankara, nitai padapasariya, hankara mapta hoya. Narottam Das is telling that people don't accept nitai, they don't accept the personality of God because of a hankara. Matta. They're maddened by this ahankara, that I am a ahankara. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasa ahankara vimuthatma. Again, several places in Gita, Krishna stresses it. As soon as you think that you're the doer, then immediately you're a mudha. You're a fool. Oh, I did that. I am so great. So all day everyone is thinking that. Sometimes we get a little bit of realization. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't do that. I'm not doing anything. I'm not the doer. But this is the mostly, almost 100% living entities are thinking they are the doer. Ahankar. Nanu pashanti vimudha. In another chapter, he said, they cannot see. Nanu pashanti. Pashanti jnana chakshusha. Without this jnana chakshusha. Chakudan dilo ye. One has to have the eye of knowledge. How to get it? Aton guru panam yai. One has to surrender to the guru. Guru, a bigger check. It's a necessity to take the guru. Of course, the guru has to be Vaishnava. Can't be any bogus guru. When these King Nimi in 11.3, the third chapter, there's also the nice conversation concerning these aspects of Vaikarikas, Tejasa, Tamasas. So the King Nimi was highly intelligent. So when these nine Yavyogendras, when they were speaking with him, Agnihotra, their names, so they're all giving different things. So the king also said, please tell me what else I should know. He was very humble, very intelligent. Please tell me what else should I know besides about these modes. How to get out of the modes. He said, yeah, you should know how to get out of the modes of nature. We have described these modes, maya, how powerful it is. Mama maya duratyaya, mama evi epa bhajante. How to surrender, but one cannot go directly. Tadvid, he has to approach the spiritual master. Right? Tasmagarum prabhadgeta, jigyasu, and he has to inquire from the spiritual master. Jigya, about what? Oh, why are you wearing that funny line on your head? Or like that? No. Jigyasu shreya uttamam. What is the uttama? Because this world here is tama, it says here, so one has to inquire about the Shreya, not the prayer. Shreya Uttama, beyond this Tamagun. Because spiritual master is beyond, hopefully, beyond Tamagun, beyond the modes of nature. Anta Pravishta Abhati, described in the first canon, Vidrambena, how the super soul enters the living entity, Bhunkte Bhuteshu Tadvin, causes him to enjoy. You want it to enjoy, then that's okay. You can, and then gradually, from within the heart, he also engages that Shravanam Kirtanam, in Shravanam Kirtanam, and one becomes too much upset with the modes of nature, then he tries to find out, but there's something beyond this, beyond that. You always hear devotees will look, many devotees would be looking here and there, especially in the 60s and early 70s. There were so many gurus, we didn't, even now, of course, it's going on. Many bogus people come, oh yes, I am a guru. And misleading so-called gurus. So, but one is desperate, then prasade pai bhakti latavi. He gets the bhakti from the guru. Guru prasade pai. Gets some association, some representative comes and says, okay, here, this. I remember that, like for instance, my friend Kushakrata, we were kids in fifth grade, so he probably read more books than every kid combined in the entire New York City on philosophy. So I was pretty late. I was almost normal, not quite, but I wasn't totally normal. But just to be his friend, I couldn't have been too normal because people would walk by and punch him in the arm. You know, like he was Italian, but all the mafia Italian kids would walk by and just hit him just for gratuitously, you know, as they say. Because he was such a nerd, it would bug them, and the vicious demoniac mentality, probably lucky they didn't kill him, and nowadays they might, but anyway, but he would read so many books. So after I moved away from his neighborhood one day, I thought, let me call my old buddy Peter, you know. So I was thinking, well, this guy, he read so many books, he must know something. And I remember him reading all these books. I mean, all the way from the ancient Greek philosophers, all the way up into all the existential philosophers. So he was a real gani. So I called him up after 3-4 years. I hadn't seen him. I said, so, Peter, you read all those books. And what's the best book? And he said, Bhagavad Gita. I forgot. I mean, I didn't know at the time something. Years before, I hadn't focused on it, but he said, Bhagavad Gita, you don't need any other book, he said. And I thought, that's interesting. Because I had no Bhagavad Gita, that's 1963 or 4, I think I call. I knew him in 56. But so I called him. He was reading. He was a gani, looking, searching, very intelligent. Nobody else like that, close even. So every day reading big fat volumes. You go to the library with a big stack, go back next week, big stack, next week, big stack. Read every book on philosophy. So he's the guy you're going to ask, right? you know, so you Bhagavad Gita, don't need any other book. So I thought of that. I always thought of him like that. Until I got a small Bhagavad Gita, before they even printed the blue Bhagavad Gita, I was in San Francisco. And I used to go to the temple on Sunday, and Upendra gave me a small, tiny Bhagavad Gita, about this big, from maybe Gita Press, or I don't know what it was. It was like, just had verses, English. I don't even know if it had the Sanskrit. And I was looking through it. This is funny. Okay. I read up to 11 chapters. Kind of exciting. Oh, yeah. Of course, the English was like Shakespearean or some weird thing. It wasn't like reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Then Purple Gita came out. So gradually things introduced, Prabhupada is coming. Bharat Bhumite Horlo Manusha Janma Ja Janma Sarkat. Prabhupada's mission when he spoke with any group of Indians, whether in Canada or anywhere, always pushing this point. You are born in India. He said in that South Africa and Canada and England, so many places, wherever the big groups, he said, you have all come here to make some, for some material calculation to improve your material life. Ahankara, mudha, vimudha. But I have not come for that. I have not come to beg, please give me this. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he is begging Radha Krishna Bol Bol, A Matra Bika, Chief Krishna Das A Vishvas. You should know you are Das. You are not master. This is pure false ego. So just on this point, such an important point that everyone's working under this directive and they cannot get out of it, encaged. So it's interesting here that this is a nice thing where you're quite competent to understand this. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu. There's an order, probably mentions in one place, that according to the significance of our 12 Mahajans, starts with Brahma and then goes to Narada. Swayambhur is Brahma, Swayambhur. Narada Shambhu, that's Shiva. Then the Kumaras, Kapilo, Manu, like that. So Narada's right under Brahma. And Pujyamasa, when Narada showed up, if you read, 4th chapter, 1st canon, at the very end, Pujyamasa, when Vyasadeva was feeling so despondent that he had composed all these books, but he felt so inadequate, something wrong, Hridaya, in his heart. Narada showed up, just like Prabhupada showed up, so many despondent persons in the West. And so then he was worshipped, Pujyamasa, Vidivan, just like Vidivan, which is another name of Brahma. Vyasadeva knew, yes, I worship him, just like Lord Brahma. And here Brahma's also saying that, Narada, you are quite competent. Savai bhavan veda samasta guru yam upasitam yat purushapra. Paravareshe natasha menu namalam vichakra. Another thing that Vyasadeva told Narada, you are competent to find out what's wrong with me. Who could find out what's wrong with Vyasadeva? Compose all the Vedic literature. Such a great person. But he was, and Narada immediately chastised him. Bhavita nadita praya yasho bhagavato mala. What is it? Yanavaso and the two sheta. You're not satisfied because manasa, you're taking the mind as the self. He's actually, just like Arjuna, such a great person. Prabhupada also said he was a gross materialist. He was acting like a gross materialist. So attached to his family. He's a kshatriya, you have to fight. So Vyasadeva was like this. And Veda Samasta Guya, he appreciated that Narada was, knows everything, Samasta. All that is hidden and confidential. You know that. So please instruct me. Snatasya me nyunam. Find out my deficiencies. Although I studied everything, just like the impersonalists. They study everything. Veda, you know, described there in the 11th canto, one verse. What is that? That go dahanam. I forgot that verse. That just like keeping a cow doesn't give any milk. Of course, we keep cows that don't give milk, but they also try to milk the goats, the wrinkles on a goat's neck, thinking there's something there. There's nothing there in this material energy. So these great scholars, Hyapi Branyanti Te Jana, it is said by Prabodhana Saraswati in one of his great, one many slokas, Achetanyami Dam Vishvam Yari Chetanyami. So this whole Vishvam is devoid of consciousness, although, and Mahabhu is pure consciousness. He is Chaitanya. Yari Chaitanyam Ishvaram, he is the Lord. And even if one is the greatest scholar, and he studied everything, still, Hyapi Brahmyanti Te Jana, what's the third line? Hyapi Brahmyanti means he's wandering uselessly in this material world, even if he's the biggest scholar. So we're not apt to becoming such big scholars. If one like Prabhupada would say, even that three-year-old Saraswati, when she was speaking that, do you know who Krishna is? She was greater than the biggest so-called scholars, because she was teaching them Hare Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna. So even a small child, anyone can chant one. Then one, Veda Purane, there's these verses. One has gone through the Vedas, Ramayane, through the Ramayana, Mahabharata. What is that Raghupati Upadhyaya, Shutim Apare, Smriti Mitare, Bharatamanye, Bhava Bita. Out of fear, one studies all these shastras. So we don't do it out of fear, we do it out of love. He says, but as far for myself, Ahamihanandam Bande, Yashalindi Param Brahma. I worship the Param Brahma also. You're after the Param Brahma, but he said, Yashalindi, he's crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. He's the Supreme Personality of God. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Natmatak Pavartate. One knows that, he knows everything. And Krishna also tells Arjuna, because you're not envious and you're not a mudha, I will tell you the knowledge. Yad gyatva nehabuyo yad gyatvam vishishite, there will be nothing left to be. No. For your benefit, ye me matam idam nityam anatishtanti manava shadhavanto nasuyanto. Because anasuyanto, and you have faith, and you're not envious, therefore I will instruct you. But ahankaram, one of those last verses in the 18th chapter, he says, but due to ahankara, nashoshashi vananshasi. Those, of course, Arjuna, he finally said, yes, I accept everything. Sarvameta dhritam manyeyam, even in the 10th chapter, he said, I accept everything you have said. Yan man bharasite shiva. In the end, Krishna said, so, now you've heard me, you can do whatever you would like. He said, no, my doubts are all finished. What is that verse? No more doubts. Whatever you have said. Huh? Nashtamoha, smita labda, tat prasadam, by your prasad. Sometimes some personalities in India, they address Prabhupada that you are just like Vyasadeva. Prabhupada wouldn't, so humble, he said, no, I'm not like, well, okay, you can say, because Vyasa Prasada Shrutubna. Just like Sanjaya, he said, by the prasad, by the mercy, prasade pai bhakti lata bij, by the mercy of Vyas, then anyone, he said, can become guru. Amarage guru hai, tare dakte. That's Korma Brahmana. He wanted to travel with Mahaprabhu. He was so enraptured. Imagine. He couldn't care less for his family. Maybe he had 20 kids. We don't know. He said, no, I only want to go with you. He said, no. Don't have to go with me. You take my order. Amaragye. Tare dakte. And you can deliver wherever you are, your own country. You become the guru. And punarapi, what is it? You'll get my association. Pabe mora sangha. By doing that, you'll get my association. So Mahaprabhu is guaranteeing, just by preaching, one gets his association. The more one does it, the more one. Naisha paravaramatir bhavato nanusya jantur. Prahlad Maharaj says that is not, Krishna is not partial. But according to how much you surrender, yeyatamam prabhajante, then he rewards. Finally, of course, if one is on very high level, like gopis, Krishna says, no way, I can't repay you. Sasadhu kritiyam, by your own sadhu, acting like a sadhu, then you'll have to be satisfied with that. Because that this puja is so great. You have given up everything. Shrinkala, geha shrinkala. You broke the chains of this material world, all attachments. We were reading it the other day. Was it Loka Dharma? All these dharmas they gave up. Lajja, they gave up shame, and they just surrendered, the gopis. So, sasadukit yambi buddha, yushapiva. Even in a life of Brahma, I couldn't repay. And the devotees also say that, like Uddhava says to Krishna, 11th canto, naivo payanya pachitin kavayastraveja. Even all the kavis know that even if you have a life of Brahma, you cannot repay the guru, the debt. You cannot express it. That's considered vinoda patram. Means it's a joke. Anyone who's very knowledgeable, when they see someone that is saying that he's paying back his guru debt, that's good. Some people, I mean, I was thinking this the other day, I heard this, it's almost, just for fun, I'll tell you. One very prominent person in ISKCON, he was later very fallen, he was saying, oh, they're praising Prabhupada, but I did 10 times more than Prabhupada. So that's the kind of thing, you know. And someone hears that, they go, ha ha, you laugh. Of course, he wasn't following anything, but then he was saying like that. I did 10 times more. You did 10 times more. You think maybe you're a little bit, something wrong with your false ego. So this means no appreciation of the guru, or at least it's temporarily blocked. So one doesn't think that. He thinks that the guru has saved us. Otherwise, the ahankar is always there, ready to entrap the three modes of nature. And one is sattvan rajas tamayati guna prakriti. These gunas, these three gunas. And this is what is the false ego described. It's analyzed very clearly, scientifically. Okay, so we can take comments.
Thinking that like Prabhupada doing so much, but he never took any credit for what he did. He always gave all credit to his guru. So even if somebody's, you know, actually getting a lot done, it's always by the Krishna and the guru's mercy. That's how we think of it.
Most of the time he would say, my only credit is I didn't put any hindrance that... sometimes he would boast, but it was more like a sales technique. And he'd say, oh, we have got, you know, like one time he was talking about this Sai Baba or something. He said, so he has some nice property, but probably it's on the roof in Mayapur. And he said, does he have a property like this? And then if you were there in those days, you know, it was like so ecstatic. You could look on one side, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The other side, now it's obscured. You could see the birthplace and everything was pure and perfect. Does he have one property like this? Of course, you're in the Dham, you know, so ecstatic. No, he doesn't. He's simply creating some phony magic trick.
I was also wondering, as part of the Kusha Karada story, do you know how he got his Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? And then it's always nice to hear the story of
who got whose Bhagavad Gita?
How Kusha Karada got Prabhupada's.
Do I know how he got one?
Yeah.
When he told me Bhagavad Gita, it was long before Bhagavad Gita was printed or probably didn't even come to the States. But how he got his Bhagavad Gita, I don't know. It was somewhere.
Because it's interesting how you met
He was in Buffalo, and Prabhupada came to Buffalo. And for all I know, he could have seen Prabhupada's second eye and track out Kusha Karada's mind. That would be a life's work, especially now that he's gone. I mean, I could pick his brain because I knew what button to push, but I have no more button to push now. So, like one time I asked him, because he used to write symphonies. We were like 12, 13. He would write symphonies and long poems and everything he did. Hatha yoga. Nobody knew anything. He was sitting in a lotus, 12 years old, 9 years old. So one time later, years, I said, did you ever hear those symphonies produced? or what they sound. He said, no, how am I going to get an orchestra to produce the symphony? No. So, anyway, yeah, so yeah, so many things he was doing. I called him in 60, I want to say 3, he would have been, he was like about 8 months older than me, so that would be, we were 16, probably, 16, yeah.
Prabhu, in the verse, there's this reference, it's the Prabhupada, the list of the modes of nature, and which one of these corresponds to which mode?
Tejas is the mode of ignorance, or rather tamasa.
I know, but obvious. They're using...
And Vaikarika is the goodness. This is to represent the mind and Aniruddha.
Kriya Shakti and Dravya Shakti.
Gana Shakti, he's
Gana
praising, and he's
the
saying the other two, at the end of the purport, he is saying here,
Kriya and Dravya.
Right, he's saying here, near the end, he's saying that based, in order to rectify this great anomaly of material civilization based on the principles of Dravya Shakti and Kriya Shakti, so that means things and activities.
Well, he does say Kriya Shakti, materials for industrial purposes and the industrial enterprises.
So
but,
before that, he says, and thus the Ganashakti stage of the conditioned soul is comparatively better than the
yeah.
other two states.
But what would be an example of Dravya Shakti?
Well, Dravya refers to Dravya Karma is one of the things, is things, anything, things, all things. That covers a lot of ground.
Material elements.
Elements, yeah. Anything. Basically, but you know, the activity of creating and with those things, that's Kriya. And Bala means how to use the thing, Gana means how to use those things.
Okay, so in the verse, it's the three divisions of the world of nature, namely the powers that evolve matter, that would be Dravya, knowledge of material creations, Kriya, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities is Gana.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can take this word jnana and then you start thinking, you know, jnanamatam bhuvanam dayalo, or like everyone in the material world, according to Kaviraj Goswami, saying that Mahaprabhu has come because everyone is mad. They have a lot of jnana, you know, jnanamatam, but they're mad. They have the jnana because they're not utilizing their jnanamatam. So, just like Prabhupada put out that booklet, Who's Crazy? But they're mad because they have so much knowledge, they don't know how to use it, they're mad. Ankara matta haya, nitai parapasariya, because they forgot the lotus feet of nitai. Interesting, it says, forgot. Okay, Jirikram.
So, we were explaining the process of creation started from the subtle and moves to the gross. So, I recently wrote that the Big Bang Theory, which is explaining creation, is a nonsensical theory. And one cosmologist got on my case. He says, you're saying that, but what about all these scriptures? He's saying the Bhagavad Gita and the Puranas and the Bible and the Quran. He said they're all mythical. You know, they cannot explain anything about the creative process.
Well, why is he lumping all those shastra together in the first place? You should quote these things. So, if you quote Quran, you won't come up with this or the
yeah,
Bible.
Yeah, yeah. So here. So I said, our scripture, I said the Vedic literature says that from Mahavishnu comes a matter compact in a seed and then expands into the universe. You know?
Like Brahma Samhita, right?
Yeah. You know? So I said... So he was arguing again. What that has to do with it?
Who is arguing?
A cosmologist. You know, he's preaching online. You know, so he came across me and we started.
You're talking about a professor?
Yeah. We started debate. You know, so I said, well, just like a tiny seed, has all the potency to emerge into a mighty tree. You see? So it's the same principle with what's coming from Mahavishnu. When I said that,
was he Indian?
No, he's an American guy, you know, but he was, you know, shouting all kind of craziness. Oh, Big Bang supports Einstein theory of relativity.
You can tell him we also believe the Big Bang
radiation.
Big Bang comes from Vishnu, though. We believe everything.
But anyway, when I finished with him, he was quiet, really. And,
but you tell him.
He couldn't answer anything else.
Prabhupada sometimes said that. Okay, Big Bang.
Hey, stay quiet now.
Give him the mic.
The guy couldn't do anything.
Give him the mic. You had your turn. Man. He always represents all.
I mean, anybody can argue with anybody. There's no great gift about that. I mean, you could find something to argue about with anybody. And what have you accomplished, you know? So, you know, we're interested in people, you know, developing their bhakti. Maybe Krishna arranged that this is what this fellow needed to meet a great sadhu like that. But that's good. But hey, I got something to pick on here. So I'm driving in, you know, and I hear you were saying that the Hare Krishnas are equal poise to everyone, but we like to pick on the asses, right? But in one sense, you know, it's like Krishna's equal to everybody, and so is the great soul. So, you know, tough love or soft love, the rose or the, you know, so if we're picking on an ass, it's just to help him not to be an ass, and it's out of love that we would do it. It's not like, it's just that, you know, we want to vent in the asses of the poor people we're authorized to vent upon, you know? Maybe, I don't know.
Okay. Nothing else? Good. Hare Krishna.